first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome, everybody. Yes, I'm here. Oh, Karen Cataline with you on this middle of the summer sort of day. Windy, hot, and dry. We're going to lose a few trees here in Texas if we don't get a little rain. So do the rain dance, would you? Boy, what? I'm sorry to repeat myself numerous times, but what times we are living in. Sometimes I think it's a blessing. Most times I think it's a curse. But I'm going to wax philosophic because I have a lot on my mind today in this first segment. I have already put on Facebook that we have a special guest. We may have a glitch, as we sometimes do, and if so, we will simply reschedule. But I think we'll get him talking about anti-Semitism and the term never again, which means never again should we ever see a Holocaust. I'll veer off just a little. People who say that you lose the argument the minute you mention Hitler or the Holocaust are actually doing the opposite of never again. If you can't see the early stages of tyranny and be willing to talk about it, be willing to stand up against tyranny and bigotry wherever you find it, meaning that you prejudge people and you decide they're terrible and awful because of the color of their skin, their gender. This is what they've been lecturing us, the hard left, but they have prejudged all of their political enemies, from Trump supporters to Christians to white people to Americans in general. You name it, they're filled with hate as they package tolerance for them and not for us. Just an aside. Everything that we are seeing today, so much of what we're seeing today, certainly in the Biden administration, and it's under his name, but I don't think he's the one calling the shots, boosters or otherwise. I don't think he's calling the shots. But finally, we are getting GOP spokespeople, people in government, Republicans, not too darn many of them, who are starting to, they're calling it a tactic. And what it is telling the truth. After, this is an article from John Solomon, excellent writer. And he opens by saying, Jim Jordan is never one to mince words. So when asked why President Joe Biden was willing to risk children losing their federally subsidized school lunches just to force schools to adopt new LGBTQ plus agendas, the Ohio Republican gave a razor sharp answer. Well, he's doing it on purpose. I don't want to exactly, I've got a million different things here. Finally, Republicans are saying that all of it makes no sense. This is what Jordan said. It makes no sense. Just the news during an article that tells you, he says, this is intentional. I'd like to ask you, between the glee with which the radical left, which controls the Democrat Party, is punishing and restricting gun ownership amongst law-abiding citizens who did not commit any crime, the runaway inflation, which is the cruelest tax of all. I mean, there's a laundry list of damaging, dangerous, horrible, destructive policies, stopping us from using our own oil so that they can have $5 a gallon gas and restrict people from movement. I don't know. Do they like restricting people's movements? They did it 2.5 years ago using a 99.86% non-lethal virus to restrict everyone's movement, 10 days to flatten the curve, and to shut down small businesses that are unable and or unwilling to play ball with a runaway government. That's just one thing. And we've seen evidence, pieces of evidence after pieces of evidence after pieces of evidence, that all of the ills that we are seeing, the dramatic shift between the end of the Trump years, four of them, and the so-called, and I say that on purpose, so-called Biden years are beyond dramatic. You had what, about $1.75 gas, low inflation, high employment. People were happy, except that you had the left screaming, jumping up and down and yelling that Trump was the worst thing to ever happen to America. Believe it or not, there are people who still believe that. You know, I used to love Robert De Niro because I'm a big fan of The Godfather, watching with enjoyment that fictional Valentine to The Godfather called The Offer. And this week is the very final episode. I mean, I'm really enjoying it because I'm a Godfather geek. And Robert De Niro, one of the great, you know, Godfather 2, you name it, played all kinds of characters. The man has lost his frigging mind. Much like all, most, not all, celebrities, Hollywood, who think, you know, they're allowed to do whatever they want, but they're going to lecture you because they're so smart and they're so much better and more important than you are. it's astonishing. Again, I'm off on a tangent, but I did not watch the Tonys, but I was amazed at the astonishing hypocrisy of these petty, pampered celebrities. No, I didn't watch it. It's so sad because I used to watch it very much and I don't anymore. But I was very interested to see all the people at the in the audience, all of them, almost all of them, celebrities, stars, self-important prima donnas, many of them sitting in Radio City Music Hall without masks when you still have to wear a mask to watch a Broadway show today and, you know, and in many cases be indoctrinated in their lefty politics. Actually, being willing to wear a mask is being indoctrinated in their lefty politics because, you know, it's been 2.5 years. We found out that it's harmful, it's dangerous, emotionally, psychologically, and in every other way. And the reason I was interested in that, yes, I went off on a tangent, is because Patti LuPone, who gets on my last nerve, what an arrogant witch. You could substitute the B in there. What an arrogant, self-satisfied witch lecturing a woman just a few weeks ago that she had better stop putting actors in danger and put that mask up over her nose. It was horrible. She had a foul mouth lecturing, looking down on, and the woman sheepishly said to her, "We pay your salary." That just made her angrier. "No, my producer pays my salary." You know what? Patti LuPone ought to take an economics class instead of walking around in limousines, walking around in limousines, being driven around in limousines with her Tony after Tony because, oh, she's so important. You know what? The woman was right. If you don't have an audience, Patti LuPone, you don't have a job. So that's a really good idea. Let's stop paying money to these people who look down their noses at us, hate us, you know, hate us. If you're watching, if you're paying to watch somebody lecture you, please, please stop it. I started out, let me get back on the track. I started out talking about, they do it on purpose. I applaud and I cheer people in the midterms, and this is midterms in June, talking about them doing it on purpose. They are tightening the screws on all of us. 11% inflation. They love it. They want to control everything. Does that mean everybody who's on the lefty bandwagon has evil intent? No, it doesn't. It means the people calling the shots, whose names we do not know, well, many of them we do not know, have it in for everyday people. After all of that lecturing, well, we want to help the little guy. You know what? What are they doing? They're sticking it to the little guy. They want us all to be peasants. Now, it gives me no pleasure to say this. It is the truth. That and so much more. It is amazing how much stuff is happening. I didn't even get to this dog and pony show that the Democrat Party ought to be charged with campaign contributions from the media because they're spinning a total fantasy. Thank God, very few people are watching it, but it still makes a mark because people still trust the media. If people are on TV, they think, you know, they must be more important. They must be better than me because they're on TV. I think more and more people are finding out that that is no longer the truth today. That's no longer the truth. And just because you're on TV, you're a newsreader and you're reading what people want you to say from the state-run and controlled media does not necessarily make you better, more important, or anything else. People are finding out, some people, another broad generalization, some people are finding out that that is no longer the truth. We've crossed the Rubicon, ladies and gentlemen, from a government that wants to serve our interests to a government, sorry to say, many parts of it that is interested in subjugating us and robbing us of our liberties. And it's happened down through history when people are complacent, when people enjoy their prosperity so much that they forget, that we forget how precious liberty is. A couple of years ago, some years ago, I was doing speeches on does freedom still matter? And not only does it, but liberty, which is a responsibility for freedom, if you may. Liberty is never so precious as when it has already been lost. And let us not have to go that far in order to recognize what is actually happening today. That's what I like to do on a semi-regular basis. So I applaud the real thing. I've come around the barn. I applaud the GOP and any commentator who has the guts. Too bad it requires guts to say that walking away in Afghanistan was deliberate. Handing our enemies our enormous, expensive material was deliberate. Shutting down the Keystone Pipeline the minute Biden got in office was deliberate. It's not that they're ignorant. It's not that they're incompetent. The people calling the shots are enjoying the suffering that we are watching. And that has ramifications that are even greater. But I gotta go. because that is the music. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to have a tremendous guest. Stay tuned. You're listening to Spouting Off here on WSMN Nashua, New Hampshire. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
With Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone. We are waiting for our guest. It looks like we're going to have him shortly. So let me tell you a little bit about him. I've got so many wires and cords here. It's almost comical. I don't want to entice you to watch me on video, but it's actually pretty funny. Our guest is going to be Kasim Hafiz, and I do hope I'm saying that right. He has made a film. I was talking a little bit about it, and you and we'll find out exactly when it is due to debut. Actually, I have it here. Oh, no, I don't. It's called Never Again. Now, as a person who puts the Judeo in Judeo-Christian, the term never again is certainly not new to me. It is often used, although Jews don't have a monopoly on the term never again. It is most often referred to the Holocaust. We saw it in 9/11, a never again kind of response to the horrors, the atrocity of 9/11, mass murder. And this video talks at great length about anti-Semitism and prejudice in general, bigotry. What is so terribly disturbing, among other things, is the people who have been lecturing us about racism and bigotry and racism are the people who seem to be inculcating it now against their political enemies and making that okay. The whole point of, quote, tolerance is to tolerate people and their opinions with whom you don't agree. And I would argue that even though many Democrats tell us that, oh, that happens on both sides, you do not see conservatives as a whole, as a group, trying to shut down Democrats, censor them, censor their opinions, stir up hatred against them, and possibly illegal violence against them, as in this violence against pregnancy centers. Christian pregnancy centers are now getting attacked because pro-abortion activists don't think they should be engaged in trying to change people's minds about abortion. Last time I checked, that was voluntary, was it not? It was voluntary. And yet somehow pro-abortion activists believe that only abortion, I guess, should be protected, not a woman's ability to carry a baby to term if she chooses to. That kind of tyrannical attitude is phenomenally dangerous and very much is the here. He's here. I'm rattling on and on thinking he's not here. And here, sure enough, he is. I got to have a better setup here. It's live radio. I apologize tremendously for going on and on. I was playing for time there. I am delighted to welcome Kasim Hafiz, creator of this amazing film. Welcome to Spouting Off here on WSMN, Kasim. Maybe I don't have him. Gosh. Hello, Kasim Hafiz. All right. Well, we don't have him yet. Art, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. He's in the room, but I don't know if he can hear you.
In the room. speak up, Kasim. See if we can hear you. We cannot. Can you get him on the phone, please?
Yep. I'll do it right away.
Please do. All right. Because we got a lot to talk about, and it's so important to hear his message. People think there are no similarities between what happened in 1938 and what's going on now in many parts of the world.
Can you hear me now?
Jews. Yes, Kasim Hafiz, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Sorry about that. Technical problems.
yeah. We are inundated with them because we got started late. I'm going to just let you talk about this movie and why you decided to make it, okay? Just give us the most important points.
No, for sure. So Never Again came about for a number of reasons. I work for an organization called Christians United for Israel, and we for many years have been speaking up against anti-Semitism in support of Israel, and we saw this disturbing rise. You know, all the statistics show the biggest victims of hate crimes in the United States are Jewish. Records have been broken for the amount of anti-Semitic hate crimes in America. And you look at how small the Jewish population is. We felt that this was something that we had to tackle and essentially needed a larger strategy. And also, for many years, we've been working with Irving Roth, who was a Holocaust survivor who sadly passed away last year. And his story is so powerful and impactful. We wanted to make sure that, you know, we had that for future generations. So that's kind of where the idea came from. And then me and Irving have a very close friendship, and we saw an opportunity in highlighting the issue, because myself, I used to be a Muslim extremist radical, and we wanted to highlight of what happened to Irving, you know, the very worst manifestation of modern anti-Semitism, and the fact that here's me, who was born in England, but grew up with the same sort of propaganda and hatred that we're seeing, which is common. I'm not going to say we're seeing rising in the earth, which is common in the United States, and how it impacted me and almost led me to a life of terror, and how that changed. And ultimately, the movie, aside from highlighting these two stories, it's a rallying call. It's a, we say never again, but do we mean it? Is it just a hollow phrase, or are we actually going to do something to prevent it, because we're seeing things happening which have repeated throughout history, and if we don't speak up now, they will inevitably, as history has taught us, progress down a more darker road.
Kasim, what a power. We got to have you back already, and we will just forget about this technical stuff. As a Jew, I can't speak for all Jews, never. Two Jews, three opinions. Thank you for making this film. And you mentioned something I would not like to gloss over. There are people coming from other ideologies that have, you know, full of propaganda. And it's not just Muslim ideology that's radical. I am so much wanting you to speak to what it was that changed your mind, turned you around, or enlightened you to a different way of thinking. If we could bottle that, not just with radical Islam, but with leftism that seems to cheapen life, we'd be getting somewhere. Tell us all about that, would you?
Yeah, for sure. So it was a process. And for me, it was at my most extreme. I came across a book called The Case for Israel by Alan Dershowitz. Now, I picked up this book in pure arrogance that I was right and I was just going to essentially breeze through this book and see how wrong the other side was, because I would be in an echo chamber for the last 20 years. You know, my friends, my circle, everything I hear is essentially what I agreed with. And I heard part of you when you were talking earlier, and you raised a really important point about this silencing of dissenting opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So bad ideas are allowed to flourish because any dissenting idea is ultimately, and it's scary for me in this country because I see it. It's if somebody did, like, I get accused of being racist all the time. I am a brown person of Pakistani heritage. And I got accused of being racist speaking on campuses by middle-class white kids. Like, that's where we're at. Because insane. I disagree with them.
It's kind of, if I may, it's kind of like saying that homosexuality is a choice, but what gender you are is fluid. I mean, they don't even question how ridiculous an ideology that they, and you asked a question. I think that's where it starts, doesn't it? You start asking questions. How do we get people to start asking questions about these hateful ideologies that lump people together into groups in order to be, tell me.
Yes. So it's something I've thought about. So I went on a journey which would eventually take me to Israel because the seeds of doubt had been planted. And when I went to Israel, it was still with this negative perception. I wasn't on a journey of discovery. I was looking to find something which validated what I believe. What is so problematic now, which I see in the US, I see in most of the Western world, to be honest, I don't want to limit it just to the United States, is we don't have that opportunity. There is that opportunity where you can, okay, so let's take white supremacy, for example, or Islamic extremism. But let's white supremacy more so just because of the current climate. White supremacy, of course, it's wrong, it's immoral, all of these things. But instead of going, okay, these are your ideas, let's bring them out in public and challenge them, there's this silencing. And all that does is empower extremists because they go into kind of their own darker circles. Instead of bringing the light of truth and the light of day to bad ideas, and the sad thing is we even do that with good ideas. Whatever is now the established narrative, that is, you know, the party line, and we can't deviate from that. So bad ideas flourish and good ideas, you know, there is no let's debate and discuss and get to the best possible idea. It's no, this is what's being decided is acceptable. And if you are outside of this, you are racist, a bigot, whatever the label which will silence you and discredit you is thrown at you.
Absolutely. In fact, when they must censor and silence dissent, it's usually a lie that they're pushing.
Right.
To claim an entire country is a white supremacist, racist country is a poisonous lie to begin with. But I don't want to go down that road because I want you to talk about this film so people can watch it and see it. I got to tell you, I tried to watch some of it. It is very painful because it's so hard to watch this happening again and seeing the similarities. Tell us about this film and what we can do to help you to have more people see it.
For sure. So the film was released on streaming on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, and a few other platforms on the 7th of June. And you can buy or rent. It's coming out on DVD, I believe, on the 22nd. And honestly, we watched it again when it came out on streaming, and it is difficult. Like, you know, you see, but there is hope. And the organization I work for, Christians United for Israel, you know, we passed the 10 million member mark a number of months ago. I was just in a small rural town outside of Philadelphia where over 300 Christians came out to support Israel. Like, and stand up against anti-Semitism. So, Pete, there are voices, but we need more. And that ultimately, the silence of good people is what allows evil and bad ideas to thrive.
Boy, is that ever true, Kasim. And we've seen through pretty recent history. I mean, you got to think, 70 years is not that long in human history, that the Jewish people have a history of persecution, but they've only been, and you said it, it was said in the film, Canaries in the Coal Mine. And whomever has come against the Jewish people as a whole, as a people, like the BDSM movement and all of these movements that are inherently bigoted and racist, they never stop with the Jews, do they? They never, ever do. Now Christians and Jews are standing together for religious freedom in this country.
Right. And that's the thing. We saw it in the Middle East. You know, in 90, the Jews were persecuted in the Middle East, regardless of what some people will tell you. They were persecuted under Muslim rule for hundreds of years. They were eventually forced out. People just were like, okay, it is what it is. And then we saw, once the Jews were gone, who did the radicals come for? The Christians. And we've seen that repeated all over. And now, similarly, in the United States, we're walking down a slippery path, and I say this as, you know, somebody who is a Christian now, who works for a Christian organization. There are challenges and opportunities in that relationship. The history of Christianity, when it has come to the Jewish people, is not one that we're proud of. Instead of honoring the people who have preserved our biblical heritage, Jesus was Jewish. After all, you know, John was not a Baptist. John was Jewish. Mary wasn't a Catholic, also Jewish. But instead of honoring that, sadly, Christian leaders in the past have done the very opposite. And there is need for some bridge building from the Christian community. And, you know, and I'm grateful that our organization exists, that Pastor John Hagee did the things that he has done, you know, step across and to extend a genuine and honest hand in friendship. And
he has. And he's influenced many, many people. My parents, may they rest in peace, would not believe things like Israel Day in Colorado, right, where I used to live. So it is astonishing. And as long as the Christians will, you know, vive la difference, stop trying to convert us, then maybe I can convert more Jews to conservatism.
100%. And that is one of the really special things about our organization. It is completely non-missionary. Like, it is not. We are about supporting Israel and the Jewish people, and that's it, because it's the right thing to do.
Differences are good. I mean, we're cool with that. I have to take a break, and we have to let you go. Gosh, I want you back soon. It is so great to have you, and thanks for joining us, Kasim Hafiz. The film is Never Again.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
With Karen Cataline.
Censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read The Difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Oh, I love that song. That is a good song. You all are joining us here on both Getter and many other places around the internet. And we are delighted to have with us our next guest. Let me find my notes. Yes. Not only is he a candidate for governor of Oklahoma, that's not the only reason we're having him on. His name is Dr. Mark Sherwood, and his mother was a mere 16 years old when she found herself pregnant. She passed out at a party and had no memory of the acts that led to her pregnancy, and she decided to give up her child for adoption. We have so much to talk to Dr. Sherwood about, not only about this love of abortion that we're seeing today and firebombing pregnancy centers, but your story. Dr. Mark Sherwood, thank you so much for joining us here on Spouting Off on WSMN.
Karen, thanks for having me. I'm super honored to be here. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. So let's first start with the whole issue of abortion. It's almost as if the left is rubbing their hands together with glee, inciting the most radical of radicals to threaten and terrorize people who disagree. I hate thinking that that is what's going on in our country, but indeed it is. Speak to that, if you would, Dr. Sherwood.
Well, sadly, it is. We've reached the point in our country that we went from one nation under God, indivisible, to a nation that put itself above God and is very divisive. And if people don't agree with the way things are said, there's a lot of anger and hostility that's bred from that. And that's unfortunate because we've always been a nation that's had disagreements and differences, and history has taught us to make agreements out of these disagreements and work to make things congruent together to go forward. But we haven't done that. And the violence around this one is unbelievable. But I go back, Karen, probably to the very basis of what you said. You know, we haven't valued life at all. We've devalued life. And the more you devalue life, the more you get bold at the devaluation of life. So that's exactly what's happening. This is a good versus evil concept. And the more we continue to glamorize, give permission to this idea of not protecting the unborn, which is a constitutional right, the more we murder that, the more we kill that, the more our nation's going to go into a spiral of turmoil.
Yes. Forgive me for not knowing this in advance. What kind of physician are you, Dr. Sherwood?
No problem. I'm a naturopathic doctor.
Ah, okay. And you have some thoughts about COVID. I'd like you, if you would, to connect the two. The things we saw during COVID, forced medical treatment against people's will, taking COVID into the most vulnerable of all of us, the elderly, and in nursing homes. Some speculate to increase the death numbers, which the indictment of that alone, of doing something like that for political purposes, cannot be underestimated in terms of cheapening life. So if you could talk about that, because sadly, all these things are connected.
Well, they are. And I hope people really will begin to listen intently with their, not just their head, but their heart with what I'm getting ready to say. First of all, you know, COVID was weaponized. No question. It was weaponized in this idea that we are going to mandate vaccines. And we have never done that before with anything. And we did that with the idea that we had these vaccines that were unproven, rushed through this Operation Warp Speed thing. And because of that, we found out that, oh, by the way, getting vaccines does not prevent you from getting this virus. Now, with that said, you've got globalists out there, inclusive of Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, Yuval Noah Harari, all this group. They really believe in this one world governance, this one world control, this submission to the world order, the new world order. And they do not believe, as their statements indicate, that this earth can hold the mass population group we have. So we have an agenda here, by all appearances, to kill off the least able to fight off the virus, the older folks, like you just said. And at the same time, we're seeing this increased in permissibility of abortion as evidenced by Bill Gates and et al., you know, pushing the ability to get these abortions on demand even after full term and delivery in some states. So it is seeing the front and the back of a population die off with probably the expected agenda to be to lower the population to make us just this far above death, completely dependent upon the globalists, and then they have us under control.
It's you know, I talk about it all the time. It's like these maniacs that have been watching too many sci-fi B movies because it's hard to comprehend why they would intentionally put elderly people in danger if they didn't have a complete disregard for their lives, for their family. Remember when they said to everyone, if you don't put a rag on your face, you're killing your grandma? And then what did they do? They went out and killed a lot of grandmas. I had a question there, and then it just left me. What have you determined as a naturopathic doctor as to what's some of the things that we were told that simply are not, were not true?
Well, certainly there was no one from any organization that I heard, whether it be government, the church element, or even medicine, talking about the root causes of how to support the body system so it would function well. And so lethality was increased with the perpetuation and bombardment of fear. And that's what it does when you get scared, isolated, alone. Your immune system is going to go down. And no one was talking about nutrition on one end, that even with the concept of vitamin D being up to speed, and even people with darker skin needed more D. These are basic tenets and basic principles that no one talked about at all. And I found it to be utterly pathetic, disgusting, and at minimal disappointing. And that's what we've learned. And we've learned if you support the human being, the human experience, you know, physically, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, they do better, as evidenced by young people and athletes not dying from or with COVID.
Yes, and that validates what a lot of people are saying. And of course, that's the point of view that is being censored, shut down, told that you're not allowed to question, you're not allowed to think for yourself. I want to pose this question to you because we're talking about some really huge issues, as we try to do on this program and many others do as well. And that is, if it is true, big if, because I have no evidence of it. All I have are the actions that I'm watching. I don't know who's doing it. I mean, a lot of people speculate. Is it Klaus Schwab and all of that? I mean, then some of them have told us what they want to do. They want us to be poverty stricken and have nothing. And we, by the way, will be happy. But they aren't so open about the fact that they believe in depopulation. What I want you to speak to, though, is if in fact it's true that they want to depopulate the earth or reduce the population, we've also seen evidence that some of these guys in the technocracy are spending millions of their billions of dollars trying to live forever. Now, what do you think about that? About the, so let's see, they want to live forever, but they want to decide who lives and dies amongst us peons. What do you suppose that's all about, huh?
Well, I think it goes back to Nazi Germany, doesn't it? You know, the Germans were trying to create that superior race. It was everybody else was inferior, and that's the same language, the same ideology that you're seeing now. There's this elitist group that want to live forever, but they don't believe anybody else is worthy. And so they have all the technology, they become the elitist, and you become the peons instead of the people. So they're the elitist and you're the peasants. And so we really got to get this flipped around. And I've encouraged people in my travels around the state and around this nation, and I've been a lot of different places, stand your ground with everything you have. And this is me talking, Karen. I've told people that we are not going to die one day quicker than God says so. Do not live in fear. Do not live in panic. Do not live in anxiety. Live in complete and utter faith, fearlessness, and hopefulness. And do the right things that we know to do to care for self. Again, you know, exercise, eat right, stay off of negative media, hang out with people that are going to lift you up. Make sure you supplement well and make sure you get good people around you that are going to build you up and not tear you down.
Yeah. You know what? I joke because I have to take breaks too. And this is my business. This is what I do. And yet I have to watch fluffy, silly movies from 1953 before I was born just to remember the great joys of America and America's promise and all of that. I couldn't agree more. I would only add just for something else is that people who want to live forever and they want to decide who lives and who dies are trying to be God. They believe they are God and they want to be God in their universe as well as in yours. So that has been true from time and millennia. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's important. The people that want to live on this earth forever, want to control things in this earth, and this is a thought, and I want people to think about this, is that they have no hope for beyond this. This is all they have. As for me, I don't really worry too much about what's going to happen to me at eternity. I'm good. You know, once I'm done here, I'm going to go right back to where I came from. I'm just going to change addresses. But in their world, they don't really understand that concept, and they think that I'm foolish. And my simple response to them is, hey, if I'm right, I'm good. But if you're wrong, wow. You know, and so I stood my ground on that. My wife has been with me every step of the way. And it, you know what? It gives people hope. So, you know, I want to hang on to hope and become like a hope dealer, you know, not a dope dealer.
Well, on that score, how come you're running for governor in Oklahoma? And tell us about your race.
Well, it's going really well. We were just answering the call, Karen. You know, sometimes we all get this thing, you know, that you're supposed to do this. You're like, no way, not me. I'm the wrong guy. But then it's like that Barney Bush moment that says, no, you're exactly who I want because meaning God, he qualifies the called. He doesn't necessarily call the qualified. And so even though we're highly qualified, we felt unworthy at the time, but God made it clear that we're supposed to step up and be obedient. We stepped into the race, never running for political office before, with the idea it wasn't about winning and losing. It was about being obedient to the call and to inspire other people. And boy, we've done that. And it's been really cool because I never saw myself in this position. And, you know, to look around and see people that come up and say, hey, I'm stepping up because you did something or you and your wife did something that I thought was impossible. And now in the race, I mean, we're at the place now, we came out of nowhere, and we're either going to finish one or two. So I'm very pleased with that and very happy with that. And we're just trusting it one day at a time.
So you have a primary, I presume, in Oklahoma?
Yes, on June 28th, right.
Okay. And how many people are running to oppose the incumbent, right? Tell us about that part of the race.
Well, when you have a race and there's three of us that are running against the incumbent governor, and the incumbent governor is the classic Republican in name only. We've used that term. That's a legitimate descriptor of people, you know, don't know the Constitution, don't know the GOP platform and don't care. It's all about money. People become less. And so it's a race where you're running against not only a leftist agenda, but you're also running against the internal Republican elitist agenda. And frankly, we're the kind of candidate that other people and we all need to be because we are statesmen, stateswomen who love God, protect the Constitution, and represent the people. We are not politicians. We are service oriented. I go in there to serve people, and I don't go in there to be served. I always tell people I'm going in there to wash feet, not have my feet be washed. And really, I think that's a breath of fresh air today. And we're confident on that. We've done the right things. We haven't compromised. We haven't taken money from special interest groups. And we will not back down to anything of a tyrannical agenda, whether it be rules, mandates, or ideals. You still there? I think I lost your audio, Karen.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're back.
Okay. All right. Are you familiar with Catherine Murdoch and the work that she's doing to elect Republicans in name only?
I'm not familiar with Catherine Murdoch, but I am familiar with the name.
Okay. So I'm just telling you to look for this in your opponents. And, you know, if you are the prevailing candidate, your opponent as well. Catherine Murdoch is the daughter-in-law of one of the two sons of Rupert Murdoch. And she's spending millions upon millions of dollars playing in Republican primaries. Sometimes the money is being given under a different name,
yeah.
But you can usually always find it as a 501 or one of those kinds of contributions. So if she and her group, and again, you have to do a little digging, if they're giving to your Republican opponents, it's usually because they believe those opponents are the most malleable, the easiest to persuade, or in some cases, they're being trained to lie, to flat out lie. Gee, would that ever happen? To lie about what they believe in order to get elected. That never happens. So look out for that, because you can publicize that in your race. When is your primary race?
It's coming up in just a couple of weeks, and June 28th.
Great. Well, if people would like to give to your campaign and will try to follow your race, where do they go, Dr. Mark Sherwood?
They can go to Sherwood2022.com. And, you know, there's a website there, of course, and it bounces up to an app as well, Sherwood2022. And there's ways to give in both. And I encourage people to download the app and give as you're directed and guided, and keep us in your prayers as well.
Well, that's great. We have just about 30 seconds or so. People always ask you this. Are you seeking Donald Trump's endorsement? And he probably hasn't made one yet, has he?
Yeah, we haven't really sought out endorsements. We did get General Flynn's endorsement, which was very good.
Oh, that's huge. Dr. Yeah, Mark Sherwood, we got to leave it there. Sorry, we have to go, but thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
We so appreciate it. Sorry for the technical issues that we sometimes have.
No worries. That's
great. Well, that about does it for us on this edition, this Tuesday edition of Spouting Off on WSNN. Join us on Thursday at the same time, same place, 1 p.m. Eastern. And on Friday, you can go to KarenKataline.com. Well, we'll have another issue, another episode of Spouting Off. Stay strong, stay, speak out, and keep on spouting off.